Say who you are and what you're covering and where you are right now.
Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, this is going to be Hilchos Chanukah. My name is Michael Balsam. We're at Chushal Chesed, Jerusalem, Israel. We're going to go over some halachas, but some of these right now that we're going to discuss today are not as practical for us, so we're going to just learn the halachas and then we'll go weiter on that. So we're holding on Simin Taf Reish Ayin Aleph. On Dalet there, so the Shulchan Aruch says that if you filled a bowl and with oil and you placed inside of it wicks in a circle, and if you covered it, then it would all count as one candle. You lit it obviously, and you covered it; it would count as one. Now, if you did not cover it, it would count as a bonfire, which would then mean it would not count for anything for you. Okay, so we're seeing basically you have a bowl. You put oil around and you have these wicks. If they're in a circle or some other configuration, not a straight line, and they're not separated, if you covered it, it would be one candle. If you didn't cover it, it would count as a bonfire. It would look as all these candles are joining together. So it says then, the Ramah says that you should be careful to place these in a straight line. And you're allowed to use a candelabra. A candelabra is separated because, you know, even though the candles might be close together, it's separate branches. But you're allowed to use that in order for Hanukkah to fulfill the mitzvah. You could use a candelabra type thing. But either way, you should separate it. And so too it says, though, but be careful with wax candles, that you don't place them so close together that they would then join together when you light them, and then they become one candle. And it says also be careful on that, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So when you're lighting, and when your wife is lighting the Shabbos and Yom Tov candles, if she's lighting five candles, let's say, for two and three children, you know, you don't put them all next to each other, and then wax candles, they form together, it's one candle. So you have to be careful. We see all the time, we'll see throughout the halachas, that you have to separate the Chanukah candles. So now, hey, on the top is Ner Chanukah. So you place the Chanukah candles facing the Reshus HaRabim outside. The public domain out there. Okay, so if your house has a door that opens up into this public domain, that's where you place this. And if you have a courtyard that also, you know, is in front of your house, you place it in front of the courtyard. So basically, whichever is closest to the public domain that people would see it as much. So you that's where you would place it. And if you live above, you know, if you live on this, 8-story apartment or something, and you don't have your door doesn't open then to the public domain, so you place it in the window of the facing this public domain. And in the time of danger, where you know you're not allowed to light candles, so the mitzvah, then you can place it on inside in your table, and that's enough. Nowadays, most have a minhag to actually light inside your house as well, so we'll discuss that possession later on in terms of what we do and stuff. But so in addition to this lighting,
so in an apartment, is it better to light it in the apartment on the table, or do you think, or could a person put it outside their apartment?
Where is your apartment? Like it's
public,
you're on the 8th floor, let's say. Where are you at?
Yeah, like on the 2nd floor. But
so if nobody will see it, if you have a window that would be facing the public domain, and people could see it walking by, it's better to put it facing the window inside.
But it'd be sitting like right here, so people really wouldn't see it.
Right, so the Mishnah Berurah doesn't discuss in terms of how many people have to see it. You know, like where I live also, not so many people walk by. But it says, according to this, basically, it should be facing the public domain, and it should be where people will see it. A lot of people have the minhag in Eretz Yisrael to light both. You know, so I light inside and I light outside, closer outside the gate of my apartment, outside the courtyard, so people can see at least those 3-4 people walking by will see it there, because if I light in my window, nobody will see it at all.
And you light your second one without...
Right, and you light your second one without a bracha. But we'll discuss that.
So you make your bracha outside?
No, I believe you make your bracha on the inside one, but I believe we'll discuss that later on. It doesn't discuss it right now for brachas on that. So it says though also you need to make sure you have another light, which is in our days the shamish, that you light with that in order to use that light and to benefit from that light. Now if you had a torch in your house back then, you didn't have electricity, you don't need another candle. The torch would suffice as this other candle that you lit. But if you're a wealthy person who always had candles lit up in your whole house, you'd have to light a specific candle to in addition to the Hanukkah candles, to show that it's designated as the candle that you can use for this. Nowadays, we light a shamash for this reason. We light the shamash. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, most of us have electricity in our house, so it's well lit when you're lighting the Hanukkah candle, so you can benefit obviously from your electricity, from your electric lights. So, but we light the shamash as a minhag from this. And that's what it's saying there. Now, I'll read some. I'll see what it says here for the on the Mishnah Berurah. So Mivichutz says to publicize the miracle. That's what Hanukkah is about. That's why we're lighting the menorah, is to publicize the miracle. And so if you have this courtyard outside, it says that you should only if this courtyard opens up to the Rishus HaRabim. Shein lo petach batuach l'Rishus HaRabim. If you don't have an opening towards the Rishus HaRabim, and if he doesn't have an opening to the Chatzer, rather he just has a door to his house, you still light outside. You should light this other candle as a hecker for the mitzvah, meaning a recognizable for that you lit it for the purpose of lighting it, except for, not for the Hanukkah candles as an additional light you could benefit from it. So if you have a torch, so he said you're allowed to use that because it's recognizable that if this guy doesn't have a lot of candles all outside his house, if he lit an extra torch, it's recognized that is his shamash in that case. Okay, now vav in the halacha. So you should place now and real fast. Oh, we'll say it. Okay, after this. Okay, sorry. So vav, you should place it now above 3 tefachim from the ground, and place it under 10 tefachim. Okay, so that's about 2.5 feet, basically, of airspace is what it should be, but it should not be resting on the ground. So your Hanukkah should not be on the ground if you light outside. It should be, this is a tefach, let's say, so it should be from here, and then another 7 would be as high as it should go on that. Ideally, that's where you should place it. And if you place it, though, above this 10 tefachim, you still fulfill your mitzvah, but if you place it above 20 amos, you don't fulfill your obligation. Okay?
Each amos being about this much here?
Right, which is for those who can't see on the podcast, it's from the distance from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger, basically, is an amma, about 1.5 feet or so. So even if you, the Ramah says, even if you take this after you lit it and you placed it down, meaning like you lit 20 amos higher, you lit without, above the airspace that you're allowed to light, then you realize after you lit it, oh, it's not valid, you moved it, you don't fulfill your obligation. Okay? Because the lighting, as we're going to see many times in the Mishnah Berurah, the lighting is the mitzvah. So also with that if you, the Mishnah Berurah says, but if you light it within the space that it can be in, and then move it within the space that it is allowed to be in, it is mutter. Then you fulfill your obligation still. So you're allowed to move it on that, but still questionable because the Mishnah Berurah then says also it's supposed to be where it's resting. You're supposed to light it in the final spot. So Vav in the Mishnah Berurah says that anywhere above or anywhere below 3 tefachim, it's as if you placed it on the ground itself. And it's not recognized that you lit this for the purpose of the miracle. So or for the purpose of Hanukkah. In any place, b'di'eved, you fulfill your mitzvah. But we like to be lechachila Jews, so we like to put it above the ground if we can. L'mata me'esar tefachim, so underneath 10 tefachim. So because you're publicizing the miracle, it's better to be underneath this. That because the way of lights is to go up from here, like so it's better to be underneath it. And so too, a lot of poskim say and. And so now we say so the Mordechai, it says Al Mordechai that says that now where we have the custom to light inside, we're not so machped on this where exactly we light this, but the Torah also says this, and it says that we don't really, we don't dispute this so much. You can light, inside your house, you can light above or below, but you should try to light within an airspace. Now, if you live above, which is what we said before, if you want to, they turned it off outside. If you live above and you have You place it in a window facing the Rosh Hashanah. Now he said, even in a window that is higher than 20 tefachim from the ground of from the ground of your apartment, meaning like the floor of your apartment, and then you have a window that's, you know, 8 feet high or so, it's, you can still light in that window if that window is facing the Rosh Hashanah on there. Okay?
Over 20 almost?
It doesn't say above 20 amos, just meaning if it's above the 10 tefachim here. So we're saying if it's above that 2.5 feet, you have a window that's, you know, normal height window, 4 foot window or so above from where the floor of the apartment would be, you can light in there and it would be okay. Now we're also saying here though that it says if you have two windows, one is higher than 10 tefachim and one is lower than 10 tefachim, you should place it in the window that is lower than the 10 tefachim. So we see it's better to try to do it within that proper airspace. And also, the candles of the basic Knesset, you can place them in a high place. So we see when you go to shul, they light the candles, and it's usually higher up, so everyone can see that in the shul. 20 amos, the issue of 20 amos is that your eye doesn't catch it. Gemara Sukkah talks about that as well. You know how high a sukkah can be, and if you're sitting in the sukkah above 20 amos, you're not going to realize you're sitting in the sukkah. So there's a similar aspect to that. Above 20 amos, somebody lights a candle above 20 amos, people walking by, you're not going to see this. When you're walking, if you look at your field of vision and your peripheral vision and up and down, you could see only so far without tilting your head and then trying to squint and look up. So that's what we're saying there.
But if you're in an apartment and your apartment's eye level to the ground,
right,
so that even though there's a 4 or 5 story, lack of a better word, ditch, you're looking right at the menorah, it's fine.
Still fine. Even inside, it's saying here, I mean, if you live in a place that's, you know, higher up, what can you do? So you have to light in the window facing the public domain. That's the best you can do. Beyond that, I mean, hopefully, in apartment buildings too, because it's a building, people will still see it. It catches your eye more because it's all one thing, and people can see a window. Okay, there's Hanukkah candles there. I think that's what I would think in terms of why it would be allowed a higher up floor. But it says here, it said it in the first, that you can light above, no problem, inside your window, not a regular window. Okay, Zayin in the halachas. So it's a mitzvah to place your Hanukkah on the left side of your door, okay, when you're lighting outside, so that your mezuzah is on your right and your Hanukkah is on the left. And if you don't have a mezuzah, then you place it on the right hand side. And if you place it by, like, in front of the door itself, then you place it in the middle of the door, of the door frame, okay, in the middle. It's not small, closer, close to the left side, like a little bit, like 51% over to the left, if you placed it just on that side, if you didn't have a mezuzah, basically. Rama says, however, nowadays that we light inside, and it's not recognized, like, for the, basically, like, people outside don't really see this, we're not so concerned with this if we whether or not we light it, you know, opposite the door frame or not. However, we have a minhag that we should light close to the door frame, like in olden days, and we don't change this. So this way, like, and we're saying that when each person in their house, we said before, should light in a special place, right? And we shouldn't mix them up, because otherwise it won't be recognized how many people, you know, lit the candles or stuff. You just have, you know, 8 candles all next to each other, it's hard to tell that it's 8 separate people. And in any case, it says, though, you should be careful not to light where you light all the rest of the year. So shalei ladik b'makom shemadikin hanera kol hashana ki az lo yeh heker klal, because then it's not recognized. If every day you lit, you know, candles outside your house or by your door, and everybody walking by every day sees candles, then the Hanukkah comes and your candles in the exact same spot, what changed? It's the same thing. Okay, so we're saying, basically what comes out here is, we want to be surrounded by mitzvahs, so that's why we're lighting with the Hanukkah on the left side, and the mezuzah on the right side, so you're surrounded by mitzvahs. And when shuls light, it says they light it on the southern wall, which is similar to what they used to do in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. And we make a blessing on even in the shul, because it's publicized in the miracle. So you would think you're not fulfilling obligation in that, because it says that the guy lighting, let's say, right, the gabbai lighting, he doesn't fulfill his obligation with a Hanukkah candle, so why should he make a blessing? It's to publicize the miracle is why we're lighting these candles. So he still makes a blessing there. So when he gets home, though, when the gabbai gets home, or if he lit beforehand and he got to shul, he has to still relight. Follow? So the guy lighting in shul, hey, we want you to light for us in shul today. Great. You did not fulfill your obligation for Hanukkah candles. You still have to light inside of your house. So the Ramah says here, that we have a custom to light in shuls between Mincha and Mariv. And there are those where they were accustomed to light on Erev Shabbos before Mincha. Okay, because most people, when you go for Shabbos, you get to shul, it's Mincha, Kabbalah, Shabbos, so you won't have time really to light. So you want to light before that. And if you want to quicken the davening, and afterwards like somebody else can bless the candles, you're allowed to do that. Meaning, somebody can start lighting it, and somebody can pass it off to another guy to finish it. That's the Shliach Tzibor, and he wants to start davening or so, he could start the first two and have somebody else, let's say, you know, if it's the fourth night or something, he'd have somebody else light the candles and finish for him in the shul on that, in order to quicken the davening there. That'll be in time for Shabbos. Okay, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about what about in the case of two doors, things like that, or like now in Jerusalem you have, you know, an apartment that's split into two with two people living there, two separate people living there. So one guy takes one side, one takes the other, basically, you know, like one door is to one side. So there you place it where they're able to, in the middle of each spot there. Okay, chet. So you have a courtyard that opens up into two directions. You need to light in both of them. Okay? So, because people are going to be walking by, right? People walking by from the east side. If you live in the west side, they don't see you have a Hanukkah. So you're going to say, that guy, he didn't light Hanukkah candles. You know, if, vice versa, if you live in the west side and they're walking from the other side, or if you live in the east side. So, it's a for those who have that in Yerushalayim. Not so many people have that, you know. That you would light two menorahs then, and probably even a third if you had the minhag to light inside your house as well. So you'd probably be lighting inside, and then you would go and light on the east side of your house, and then light on the west side of your house for that. And if you have two entrances to one side, meaning it's one house basically. Then you light in one spot. Ramah says, and if you light in two spots, you don't bless except for one of them. Meaning you light the blessing, right? And then you light the other one without a bracha. But you should still try to do this still in one instance. Like you shouldn't dilly-dally, and you shouldn't go to light one and then start talking and get involved in things and go, oh, I gotta go light my outside menorah. No, whenever you have this type of situation, you should light, say the blessings, light, then go right away and light those other candles. So this is, and the Ramah says, though, nowadays, because we have the minhag to light inside, you don't have to light everywhere, every direction of your house. Because Aminag is pashut, it says. Aminag pashut. So we don't have to light every direction nowadays. It's nicer if you want to, though. If you want to publicize the miracle a little bit more and you're able to, Baruch Hashem, afford it, then you can light in your other directions of your house as well, where people can see it. Taf Reish Ayin Beis. So the time to light Hanukkah candles. We don't light Hanukkah candles before Shkia, meaning before sunset. Now, Gemara Shabbos talks about when exactly Shkia is, according to which opinions on that. So, but based on, you know, let's say where your locale is, and based on, you know, let's say the calendars that say Shkia is, let's say tonight at 5:05. So we would not light before 5:05. Okay? We would light after Shkia on that. So if you have the end of Shkia, or rather you light with the end of the Shkia, and not afterwards and not before. And really the best time to light, though, is like at the end of Shkia, when the sun is basically almost down, going down, and it's basically almost dark out as well. Dusk. You know, that's when you should light. V'yesh misho mer she'imhu tarud, yavol le'akdim, v'tlarag ha'mincha u'malala. Now there's those that say that if the guy is busy and he has to run errands, he has to do things, he has to take his wife to the airport, who knows what, he can light earlier from plag ha'mincha, and onward. Plag ha'mincha is, if I'm not mistaken, should be an hour and a quarter before Shkia. I believe the Mishnah Berurah says it. I'll look in a second. Provided that he places enough oil, though, in it to last longer than basically when they finish closing the shuk, meaning the bath, basically, it should burn, we'll see after, it should burn a half hour, it should burn a half hour into the night. So you should place enough oil, if you're going to light early, you should place enough oil that will burn an hour and a half versus just a half hour. Or an hour and 45 minutes or so for that. So it says, when we said you should light with the end of Shkia, it says this is Setzach Kochavi, meaning when three stars come out, you know, that's when you should really light. Because this is when basically people are leaving, people are getting home from work, people are leaving the shuk and stuff, and that's the best time to publicize the miracle. So therefore on Erev Shabbos, we light a little bit earlier, and like we said, in like we're going to say in Taf Resh Ayin Tet. So there's an opinion that says that it's the beginning of Shkia, which is what I said, Reva Sha'a Mikodem. So a quarter, an hour and a quarter before Shkia is plug in. Okay, we'll do one more. If somebody forgot and he didn't light with Shkia and he lit afterwards, or he can light afterwards in the whole time that while people are still going in and out from the shuk, and which is about half hour, because that's when people are leaving, it says, and this is publicized as a miracle. Therefore, you have to put enough oil in to light for this. Now, nowadays, though, you know, people work later hours. There's electricity, so people aren't home right away at 5:00 and stuff. So, really, nowadays, you can light, you know, almost any time. Even, you know, like I'm just going to explain later on, you could even light up until Amud HaShachar. So, but nowadays, you could light even at 7, 8 o'clock. People are still out in the street. People are still going grocery shopping. People are still catching buses. You're still publicizing that miracle. Okay, now if you place more oil in the Chanukiah, and you place more oil longer, you placed enough for it to last an hour, let's say, right? You're allowed to extinguish the candles after it burned for the proper time, which is a half hour. And then you would be allowed to benefit from this light and to use it after this time. And so to the Ramah says that nowadays when we light inside, you don't have to be careful to light beforehand where they finish the shuk. Meaning you can light after that time. But any case, it is better to light in that time frame. So we see, mechatchila, you should be lighting at the end of Shkia. And it should be lasting for a half hour. That's the ideal time to light the Chanukah candles. Now you are allowed to light later, and there's an opinion that says you could light even earlier at Plag HaMincha, but ideally, you should light, that's when you should try to light, is from end of Shkia on them. However, this is lechachila. That's what we said. So aval im avar zezman velodi. If the time passed and you didn't light, malik veholer kol alayla. You can light the entire night. Im avar kol alayla velodi ein lo tashlumim. Now, if the entire night passed and you did not light the candles, then you missed your opportunity to do this mitzvah. So, and it says in there that it was up until Amud HaShachar. So you have basically, let's say, what, 11, 12 hours almost, or less than that, right? No, about that, to light Hanukkah candles. So really there's no excuse not to light your Hanukkah candles, and Rizvat Hashem, everyone should be able to fulfill the mitzvah. And the Ramah says, just to finish it up, says, other nights, though, he lights like everyone else, meaning, like if somebody, Chaz V'Shalom, missed the first night, so you'd say, well, maybe he should only light one candle and make that his first night. No, he lights two candles, the same that everyone would light, two candles, and he just goes on from that time forward. On that, so Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll pick up from Tav Reish Ayin Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah about oils and wicks that could be used.
To the Rabbi.